You can be turning in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 10. Give everybody a moment to get there. Exodus chapter 14. Today we're going to talk about when not to pray. So we're going to start here in verse 10. If you stand for the reading of God's word. Excuse me. And it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there is no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon the Pharaoh, upon his house, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." Amen. You may be seated. Now, we all need to continue in our spiritual growth. I mean, I don't care where you are. As long as you're alive, you should be growing, and you should be learning and knowing more and more about the Lord. And especially when it comes to the area of prayer. I mean, you think about it, if you're talking about your relationship with God, prayer is probably a pretty important subject to talk about. Amen? Yes, it is. And so we need to continue. And I'm talking about myself. I need to continue that thing about growing in my relationship with God, and especially through prayer. You know, at 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And the Apostle Paul, of course, he's talking about an attitude of prayer here, isn't he not? I mean, you should go all day long. It's not just a Sunday thing, that's what I'm trying to say. But all day long, you should be just realizing that God's there, and you're just kind of talking to him, and you're visiting with him. If you do something wrong, right then and there, you say, "Lord, forgive me for that thought. Forgive me for what I just said that was wrong, or whatever I did." And get it cleaned up right then and there. And that way, all day long, no matter what decisions you make, you know God's right there with you. And that's what he means. You know, when he talks about pray without ceasing. You know, some people think, well, Sunday is the day for church, and, you know, leave the rest of the day, we'll just live like the devil, right? No, that's not the case at all. So Paul's talking about an attitude towards God, you know, but there's some times that you should not pray, okay? You know, a lot of prayers out there that are being done are based upon superstition. They're based upon the traditions of men. Or there's some guy's ideas of what they're supposed to be praying about. And that's what I like. When we go to the Word of God, we're looking at God, at the Bible, and what God has to say about prayer. And it's interesting. You notice there's a lot more about prayer than you think there is in the Word of God. I mean, we could continue this on probably for another year, just looking through the Word of God and the different areas where people are praying and saying, what can I learn from this story where these people lifted up their voices and cried unto God or talked to God? That's prayer, amen? What can we learn? Yes, negative or positive things about prayer. But there are times when we should not pray. And there's three times you should not pray, okay? And we have example number one right here in this story with the Egyptians, right? And them. And if you remember the story, right? I mean, the children of Israel down there in Egypt, and over so many years, they become almost like slaves down there. And the burden, the Egyptians were putting a heavy burden on them, and they cried unto God, send us a deliverer, and he sends down Moses down there to deliver them. And then all the plagues that hit Egypt, and the last one was the death angel, right? He says, wherever there wasn't blood on the doorstep, right? The doorpost, right? The death angel passed. It didn't make any difference who you were. If you believe God and God's word, you put blood outside your door, because he said the death was coming. The first eldest would die in every home that did not have the blood, right? And after that happened, the Egyptians say, you people get out of here. We don't want you in here anymore. And they send them out. And man, they're going out there, and God says, I want you to go this way. And God takes them out there, and they're marching out, and they're getting out, getting away from out of there, and all of a sudden he leads them right up to the Red Sea. I go, God, why'd you send me here, right? Well, man, there's another obstacle in my life. We've got to figure out some way to get across the Red Sea, right? Oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden they look back there and they see the dust rising, right? All right. Pharaoh and them all of a sudden say, what do we let them go for? Let's bring them back. Let's kill them. Let's get rid of them. Let's make them back to slaves. And so now they see that coming. They say, oh, man, we're trapped. What are we going to do? And they're up there crying unto God, right? Crying unto God. And what does it say there in 14? And it said, the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying out unto me? Speaking to Israel, that they go forward. Why are you calling a prayer meeting? All right, told you what to do. You're supposed to go forward. Let's get going. I mean, you know, prayer meetings sometimes sound really holy and you know, kind of righteous, right? Sometimes, right, like that. But the one time you should not pray is when God has already told you what to do. Amen? You don't have to pray about things like that. If God has told you to do something, do it. There's no reason to pray about it. Amen? So, God has already clearly shown His will, right? It is time to get up and move. All right? Let me repeat that again. When not to pray. The first one I'm going to talk about, God already has clearly showed His will. It's time to get up and move. Amen? Amen. Okay, let me give you another example here. Turn to Acts. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Here's another good example in the Word of God. We're going to pick it up here in Acts chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 9. Okay? 10:9. That's Peter. Peter's up there. He's up there. He's praying. He's doing what he's doing. And he kind of goes into a trance, all right? And he's having a vision. Vision from God. And here it says, verse 9. Acts 10:9. And it says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey, and they drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour would be noon. You know, 6 o'clock is in the morning. It's like the first hour, and then 1, 2, 3. So it's about noon, all right? And the house, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel ascending into him as it had been a great sheet knitted in the four corners and let down to the earth. Therein all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. All right? And now Peter's looking at all these animals. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, the Jews, there were certain animals. God says, these are unclean. You Jewish people do not eat these things, okay? Okay? And that's what's in the sheet. The sheet's coming down. And he said, all these unclean animals, they're not supposed to eat. You know, Jews are not supposed to eat pig and things like that, right? And there they are. And God tells him, get up, rise up and kill and eat, right? And look what verse 14 says. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that kind of a contradiction? I mean, if he's your Lord, you're supposed to do what he tells you to do. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now some people, I just accept him as my Savior as a fire escape. But, you know, you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You're going to do what he tells you to do. So he says, but not so. But look what he says there. And Peter said, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. He's a good Jewish boy, right? You know? Even though he's a Christian now, he still has those old Jewish religious traditions really set in him. You ever notice anybody who's gotten saved, they have a tendency sometimes, they've been in some religion, but they have a tendency to go back to the old traditions they used to have? Even though they're free from them things? Because there are some religions out there that says, hey, these are the rituals you got to do or else you're not going to make it to heaven, right? Now, they add that to the blood of Jesus Christ. And so they say, yeah, I've been in that religion all my life. There's some things I just can't seem to give up because they're old traditions there, right? Well, he's the same way. He's a good Jewish boy. He says, I'm not going to eat it, right? Because no way. That would be wrong. But look right here, verse 14. Okay, verse 15. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that shall not thou call common, all right? Call out not common. This is done thrice. In other words, three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter was doubting in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, The Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, here's the idea. There's three. This is unclean. These are unclean things God has told me to eat. And he says, whatever I say is clean, right? Don't you call it common. And you know, a Jew was supposed to separate from the rest of the world. In other words, the Gentiles out there, which is everybody who's not a Jew, they were supposed to separate from them because they were unclean people, right? They didn't believe in their God. He says, separate from them. And so he's thinking three times, and all of a sudden three unclean Gentiles show up at his doorstep. Oh, I'm supposed to go to these people. In fact, look at what it says there in verse 28. And he said unto him, you know, that's just when he gets to their place, right? This is what he's going to tell them. He says, you know that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with some that come of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common and unclean. So God's getting ready to show him, this thing is not just a Gentile thing. I mean, just a Jewish thing. This thing about Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, it's opened up to the world. It's not just a Jewish thing. It's not just a nation of Israel. And Peter is still, you know, he's got to get in Peter's head, this thing is going out to all Christianity. But the thing is, he didn't have to pray about it. Once he realized what God had told him to do, and he realized what God wanted him to do, you know what? He went, amen. He didn't say, okay, God, I'm going to need to pray about this. No, God told him what to do. And he went there, amen. Here, let me show you another example. First, chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Now, verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And then, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four, I see how to pronounce that word, quaternions? And basically, it's 16 soldiers. In other words, here's one man, and he put 16 soldiers with him, okay? I mean, that shows you what a valuable prisoner he was, right? A soldier to keep him. And intending after Egypt, he would bring him to the people. Now, verse 5. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So there he was. He's got 16 soldiers just to guard this one man, Peter, right? And in fact, if you read on down through the story, they chain him to two of them, all right? And while he's sitting there in prison, locked behind all these doors, an angel shows up in the middle of the night. Chains fall off. Tells Peter to get up. The doors, unlocked doors, open up, and he walks out the door, see? And all of a sudden, Peter realizes, hey, you know what? This isn't a vision. This really happened. And so what's he going to do? He goes to where the church is, where they're praying for him, right? And so let me jump down here to verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mary, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You know, some people are astonished when they see answered prayers. You ever notice that? God actually answered our prayer. You know, we call a prayer meeting. You know, it's like a lot of people. They weren't really expecting their prayer to be answered. I mean, man, goodness, they got 16 soldiers on them. They got him chained up behind all them doors. There's no way God can answer that prayer, right? But we're going to pray anyway. Everybody in that kind of situation? All right? And so when Rhoda says, I hear his voice, she got so excited she didn't open the gate. She runs back and tells him. I said, oh, you must be crazy. All right? Oh, maybe it was his ghost you saw out there. They killed him already. He's already floating around as a ghost or something. I don't know. I said, no way. See? You know, don't bother us. We're having a prayer meeting here, all right? We're having a prayer meeting. Don't interrupt our prayer. God says, hey, would you mind if I interrupt your prayer by answering it? Right? Would you? I mean, would you? I mean, your prayers. I mean, I won't want to rain on your prayer or picnic. But guess what? I've answered your prayers. Would that upset you too much? You know, people are sometimes shocked. You know, when God's answered your prayer, there's no reason to keep on praying. Amen. It's been answered. Glory to God. Praise to Him. See? You ever have those times when somebody comes to you and they say, you know, I just want to know, I know you're a Christian. Would you show me from the Bible what I should be doing, you know, what I should do on this situation? And you show them from the Bible. You know, and they say, well, you know, that's not time to pray about it. If God showed you from the Bible what you're supposed to do, that's time to act on it. Amen. Well, maybe I'll just pray about it. What? If God showed you from the Bible what to do, you don't need to pray about it. Amen. It's time to get up. It's time to act. You know, that's what biblical counseling is. Right, Steve? You get somebody out there and you say, okay, they come to you with a problem. You say, okay, here's what the Bible says about it. Okay. Now it's time to do it, right? It's not time to say, I'm going to pray about it. Right? That's what it is. You know God's will. You know what God's will is. It's time to follow God's will. It says, like, say, for example, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you know, commit your life 100% to the Lord. You know, don't say, well, let me pray about it. Right? Don't let me pray about it. I mean, just, you know, if you got somebody like that, you show them the Word of God, what they're supposed to do, and they say something about, let's don't pray about it, you know, guess what? Just admit, I'm not ready to do that now. You know, I want to just be honest. I just want to think about it. I want to just keep on disobeying God. All right? I mean, just be honest. But I'm not ready. My heart's not ready to do what God wants me to do yet. Amen? Just be honest. You know? And say, if you just back off a little bit and give me a chance to decide which way I want to go with my life. Okay? I mean, that's an honest answer. And I can accept that. Don't say, I just want to pray about it. Amen? You don't need to pray about it. Let me read another verse to you. Here's a good one. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says this. Let me just read what it says here. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen, amen. See, someone has just accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you say, oh, glory to God. Amen, glory to God. And saying, okay, you know, what God wants you to do is get baptized. And he said, well, no, I don't want to get baptized. You know, I'm not ready to get baptized. Oh, well, let me get you into a discipleship where I can disciple you. He said, well, no, I don't want to do that either. See, that's what the church does. I mean, that's what I told us what church does. We baptize people, you know, and then they get saved. They can get you baptized. And we say, hey, let's get discipled. Let's get the Word of God into your life. Because, you know, there's a lot of false teachings out there. So we want to make sure you have a good foundation in your life with the Bible, amen. You know, it's just like any building project. Anybody here carpenters build? Anybody build anything around here? Anybody? No, nobody. But you know, let me. I think it's just common sense. If you don't have a good foundation, nice and level, good foundation, the rest of the building's going to be in trouble, amen. That's what disciples is, and that's what church does. See, but saying, oh man, I just want to pray about it. No, there's nothing to pray about. It's what God wants you to do. Discipleship is part of God's commandments. Amen? Amen. Getting into the Word of God and learning it. How about this? 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 7. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to as he purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Again, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love, that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you might, through his poverty, might be rich. And, of course, when you start talking about giving, that's usually when people get kind of quiet. All right? Or they start getting a little nervous. Okay, now he's meddling. He was preaching, now he's meddling into my business. I mean, right? But, you know, it says let him give, right? Not grudgingly. You know, if you're giving your money to the church grudgingly, don't give it. It's not going to do you any good. You know, or of necessity. Well, I have to give. Oh, no. He says to prove the sincerity of your love. See, if you love something, you give to it, right? That's what you do. You know, some come to church, you know, and they never give anything. I mean, it's kind of like going to a big banquet and everybody's sitting there around the table eating, right? And then when it comes time to pay the bill, you let everybody else pay it. Well, you may all enjoy the food, right? See, no. You know, well, you know, God just hasn't put a burden on my heart to give to that church down there yet. I'll be praying about it, you know, until peace, God gives me the peace about it. See, well, you know, Christians aren't under the law to give the tithe. No, no. I know we're not under the law to give a tithe, right? But you know what? Paul says to prove the sincerity of your love. See, the answer is just say, I'm just, my heart's just not right with God yet. That would be the correct answer, right? See, I tell you what, try this next time you want to buy a Chiefs ticket or some ticket to a concert or someplace you really want to go to, and you see the price that they were charging you for there, and you see the price, and you come up to the window and say, well, you know what, I think God hasn't burdened my heart about that. I think I'll go and pray about it. Guess what? You're not getting a ticket in there, amen? It's not going to happen. See? But you know, if you love something, you really want to go to that chief, if you really want to do something, guess what? You'll fork out the money to go, won't you? Amen? Because that's what you really love. It's so, he says, to show the sincerity of your love, amen? That's what it's doing. Here, here's another one for you. Acts 1:8. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, Jesus says we're supposed to be witnesses for him, amen? You know, well, God gave me the cooking ministry here. He gave me the Sunday school ministry. He gave me that ministry. And that's great. I mean, where would we be if people didn't cook and they didn't do the Sunday schools and they didn't do the other things that this church needs? Amen? We need that. I appreciate everything everybody does. But, you know, that's no excuse not to witness for Jesus, amen? We're still supposed to be witnessing for Jesus. It's not a matter of prayer. Just get out and do what God has told us to do. God has revealed his will. And if he showed you what you're supposed to do, then you ought to follow what God has showed you to do. Amen? Amen. Now let me give you the second time. You should not pray. When you clearly reveal your will, there's no need to pray. Amen? It says in Exodus 14:13, and Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. See, Moses made it clear, this is my intention. I'm following God. I don't need to pray about it. I'm there. Amen? Amen. See, prayer is not talking God into your will, but prayer is for you to discover God's will and for you to match your will to God's will and then to do it. You don't need to pray about it. It's not the act of prayer, the act of fasting that causes God to answer your prayers. It is what is accomplished in your life during those times of prayer. What's accomplished in your life? You discover God's will, and then you tell him what you're going to do about it. Am I going to follow your will, or am I not going to follow your will? Right? Biblical prayer is not for show. It's not for repetition to convince God, right, of something, right? Because it says in Matthew 6:5, and when they pray, thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You know, I had this friend, you know, Brewington. He said when he read that, he'd actually go into his closet and pray. That's what he used to do when he was a young Christian, right? He said, I saw what God said to do, and I'd actually get in my closet and I would pray. You know, I'd like that attitude a whole lot better, right, than not praying at all. Anyway, he says, but when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. See? See, long prayers, let's make a pretense, right? It's not how long, but getting in line in God's will and lining up your will with God's will. See, there's no reason to pray because now I know what God wants me to do. I need to go forward, amen? When it says pray without ceasing, it's talking about an attitude with having an openness to God. It's not about talking all the time, right? A practical application is the Apostle Paul who prayed, well, remember, he prayed three times. He had something. We don't know exactly what it was, but he had something in his life that must have been really considerably troubling him. And he said, I asked the Lord three times to depart from me. And what did God say to him? He finally got an answer from God. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, now he knows God's will. He says, okay, I don't need to pray about it. I know where God wants me to go. That's kind of a hard thing to do, isn't it? If you've got something going on in your life, and you say, I think God's got me stuck here, right? I keep on praying. But you know what? Paul says, I understand. I know for sure that God has answered this prayer. And he says, he's not taking it out of my life. I have to go through this. And therefore, if God gets the glory out of that, then I'm willing to go. Because that's my purpose in life, is to give him the glory. Amen? Amen. Now, here's the third thing you should not pray. He says, when a heart is hardened to the point that one must leave it to God. Oh, hard heart out there. What about Pharaoh? Exodus 4:4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and the Egyptians, that they may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Again, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. See, Pharaoh wouldn't get his heart right. Time and time again, hit him with plague after plague. All these things happened in his life, and he just wouldn't get his heart right. Even at the very end, after he even had told the Egyptians to go, he says, no, we got to go get them, right? You know what? I'm sure there was Israelites that were praying for that Pharaoh. Don't you think so? Come on, they were praying. Oh, man, he would just get his heart right. If he would just leave us alone, if he would not bother us. Oh, they're praying. They're praying for him. I'm sure they were. You know, if you was in a situation like that, you'd be praying, oh, man, I hope the government doesn't come down on me here, right? I hope the president would change his mind on that subject. You know, that's just going the wrong direction. But there comes a time when God says, it's over. It's over. This is what it says in Jeremiah, what God said in Jeremiah 11:14, what he told Jeremiah, the prophet. He says, therefore, pray not for these people, neither lift up or cry a prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. He says, they just got in the part where they got so far away from their hearts, had gotten so hardened, God says, I'm not going to even answer their prayer. Okay? He says, you don't need to pray about them. I'll take care of them from here on out. Hey, there's no one in the New Testament. 1 John 5:16. If any man sees his brother sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, in other words, pray about it, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. He says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say you shall pray for it. In other words, you don't pray for somebody to die, right? But there's a believers out there when they get, you know, a believer, a Christian, whose heart, they won't get right. They're a Christian. They trust in Jesus Christ and their Lord and Savior, but they don't get right. And they get where there's just no further value. In fact, they're actually doing more harm to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no, it's better just to take him on home. Does it? Yeah. I'll just take him on home. I'll get more glory out of his death than I will out of his life. And God says, you just come on home. You know, you say, how do I know when I should stop praying for somebody? Well, don't worry about it. When it becomes clear, I mean, thing is not for you to be worrying about it, okay? I know it's hard sometimes. I just can't stop praying for him. If God wants you to keep praying, all right? Sometimes we get all worked up on somebody because their heart's not getting right. Sometimes you got to say, okay, I just got to give it to God. God, he's yours now, or she's yours now, God. You take care of it from here on out, amen? Yep. You say, well, what if they get right? Glory to God, amen. We want them to do that, amen? That's what we want to happen. Praise God. Aren't you glad you won't have to determine that? Yeah. So these are the principles. When God made clear his will. When you see his will, do it. You don't need to pray about that. When you've made up your mind which way you're going to go, right? You don't need to pray about it. All right? And when somebody's heart is so hard, you know, it's no time to pray. You know, just turn it over to God and get on with your life. See, you decide if you're going to be obedient or disobedient to God. You know, I can't decide that for you. You know the old saying, you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. I can't decide that, what you're going to decide. You can't make anybody else decide that. You know, that's between them and God, and they got to get their heart right with God or whatever, right? But you make that decision. You know the areas in your life that you're dealing with that you really continue to resist God in, don't you? There's areas in your life you continue to resist God in. You know, maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's you never get baptized. that God asked you to do. Maybe you didn't go, need to get discipleship. You know you need to get there. You know, maybe it's your giving, your witnessing. There are any number of examples in the Bible. You know there's something in your life that you're not giving to God. And you're resisting God. You know you shouldn't be doing, amen, or should do. So what area is in your life that you're camped out on God and saying, no? Just like Peter there. First thing he said was, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. You know, this morning, let's get our hearts right with God. Let's take it to God and say, God, hey, I need to get this right. Let's make a decision. I'm going to have my will line up with your will. I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord. Because you are the Lord of my life. All right, let's just take a few moments right now and just take a moment of silent prayer.